turn with me to Proverbs 15, page 649 of the Pew Bible, as we look very briefly at this chapter. As we read through this section of the book of Proverbs, we're often struck by the whole variety of themes and the seemingly random placement of material. There are lots and lots of different things come up side by side, and we don't see any link between them. We have love and hatred, we've been hot-tempered and patient, we've wisdom and folly, we've listening to wise advice, we've got the wicked, the pure, we've got pride, we've got greed. There are any number of issues, and they're just all set side by side alongside each other. And sometimes they don't seem to fit together. And it's difficult to read it, because we're used to reading things which flow. So when we read the gospel stories, those things flow. We understand there's a story that we're following. Or we read through some of the Psalms, there's a flow in the thinking of the psalmist. Some of Paul's letters, there's a flow as Paul speaks to the church. We're used to those things that flow. Proverbs is just different. It has all these little sayings, these little helpful bits of advice, and they're all put side by side alongside each other, and it doesn't seem to flow. And it's tempting for us. We there's something about us would just love to put those things in order. So all the things that talk about wisdom and folly, we put them together. All the proverbs that talk about pride or greed or any of these other issues, we would lump them all together. So let's have all the issues in one place. And that's our temptation. But what if the sort of random nature of Proverbs, the way they're jumbled up, is a reflection of how we do life? It's a reflection of how life is. I want you to think of all the issues that face you every day. So, someone is rude to you. Someone cuts you up in the traffic. How do you respond? It's an issue. You're listening to somebody speak, a politician speak, on the TV or the radio. The hackles start to go up in the back of your neck. How do you respond? It's an issue. You've got a difficult neighbor who's testing your patience to the utmost. You've decisions to make about your money, or maybe decisions to make about your lack of money. You're anxious about your health or the health of someone you love. You wonder about how you should go about doing your work. How do you respond to someone who's critical to you because of your faith? And that's just a start. There's a whole list of issues that we face day after day. And the fact is this: they don't come neatly packaged. We don't have a day when we just face financial issues, and then the next day when we face issues about patience, and then the next day when we face another issue. All these things tend to come at us at the same time. So our lives are not neatly compartmentalized, where we have just a little pigeonhole that's my finances, that's my church, that's my family, whatever. Life just isn't like this. And so when we read through what seems to be a jumble of proverbs, it reflects the fact that life's a bit like that, a jumble of issues. And it helps us think maybe about how we live life wisely. Not just one part of our lives, but all of our lives. God doesn't want us to be wise in only one topic, so it will be your mastermind chosen subject. Here's the topic that you're wise in. God wants us to be wise in living, in the whole of life. But we struggle with that. And even the way things that we say reflect something of that struggle. So we talk about our spiritual life. We talk about our prayer life, our work-life balance, our love life, our home life, our day-to-day life, our church life. We talk about all these lives that we have as though we have a whole range of lives. Whereas the fact is, we have one life. And it's not neatly boxed so we can slot everything into the right place. God wants us to be wise right across our lives. There are other ways, too, that we split up our lives. You know, if you're walking around some of the National Trust houses, for example, you'll find often an area that has a rope across it. Now, you can wander around the rest of the area. You have free access around the rest of the house, but that roped-off area, you don't go into for whatever reason. Many of us, most of us, probably all of us, have little roped-off areas in our lives that we don't actually put into words, but they're there. So, for example, we give generously to the offering. We give generously to God's work. And maybe we do give our tithe, our 10%. But the other 90%, that's mine. I decide what happens to that. I look after that. And we separate out what's for God and what's for us. Maybe we say, Lord, I'm glad you're in my life, but please don't expect me to change my attitude towards that person. I'm glad you're in my life, Jesus, but don't expect me to change the way I think about that person, whoever that person may be. And we create a little roped-off area. It's God's area. This area he doesn't walk in. I want you to be Lord in my life, but I'm not going to change my behavior. And we create another little roped-off area in our lives where we say, don't come in here. We are so good at trying to divide up our lives into little boxes. Some of them we keep to ourselves. Some of them we let other people into. Some of them we let God into. But some of them are carefully roped off. And an area of our life just kept to one side. Proverbs addresses all of our lives. God wants to be Lord of every aspect of your life. Not just your church life. Wisdom is not restricted to religious matters. Your holiness, the way you live, is not just restricted to religious matters, to your church life. Wisdom, holiness, is lived out on a stage which is your life. Not just in bits of it, but in your whole life. So every aspect of our lives should be God-honoring. Every aspect. And so Proverbs and the arrangements of these Proverbs, a seemingly random putting together of different issues, is a challenge to us because we can't pick and choose. Yeah, here's a chapter that applies to my life, but not. They're all side by side. And when we read through these Proverbs, we need to look at them and we need to ask ourselves how we respond to them. And we can look at some of them. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. And we need to ask ourselves about our fear of the Lord. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Lord, am I hot-tempered? Am I patient? Folly delights a man who lacks judgment, but a man of understanding keeps a straight course. Lord, am I being foolish or am I being wise? These are questions that Proverbs forces us to ask. Not just about one little area of our lives, but about all of life. all of life. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, what Jesus doesn't say is, I have come that you may have a church life, a spiritual life, a family life, a work life. Jesus just says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. There's no idea of life being divided up into neat compartments that we can work with. All of life. All of life. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Not just getting by. Jesus did not die so that we could just exist. Jesus died and rose again so that we may have life and life to the full. And there's a world of difference between simply existing and living life to the full. And we live life to the full whenever we acknowledge Jesus as Lord and seek to do His will in our lives. One of the very earliest confessions of faith in the early church was simply, Jesus is Lord. Nothing else. Three words. Jesus is Lord. And every part of our lives, that needs to be true. So Proverbs forces us to ask, is it? In terms of how I treat other people, is Jesus Lord? In terms of how I do my business, is Jesus Lord? In terms of my political opinions, in terms of my behavior, in terms of how I deal with my money, is Jesus Lord? Proverbs may seem to be randomly thrown together, but it challenges us to acknowledge Jesus as Lord right across the board. Not just in little boxes, parts of our lives, but in everything. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Is that your experience this morning? Because it's only your experience if you have responded to Jesus. If you have acknowledged Him as Lord, if you have acknowledged your need for the Savior and bowed before Him, then you will begin to know that life in all its fullness. May God grant us the grace to open up every area of our lives to His Lordship, and then may our lives be lived to the praise of His glory. Shall we pray together? Father in heaven, we make life very complicated for ourselves at times. We make life difficult, not only for ourselves, but for people around us. And so forgive us, we pray. And help us, Lord, as we read your word, to allow your word to challenge us. How we live, how we go about our work, how we live in families, how we treat our money, our possessions. Lord, may every part of our lives come under the Lordship of Jesus, so that together we would honor Him and point towards Him. And this we pray in His name. Amen.